The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. Alongside Paul Brecht, I am Kuʻule Ogbayani. Happy Tuesday. Happy craziness going on. We're going to try to stay completely organized, or at least as organized as possible, as we are just getting hit with like a plethora of information regarding NFL free agency. There's a bunch of stuff going on, which we will catch you up with. We ended yesterday's show kind of talking about the significant moves that were made or signings that were made. There was a whole lot of other stuff that happened today, including a couple of guys from Hawaii, which we will tell you about in just a second. Coming up on the show later, though, we will chat with Rainbow Wahine volleyball player Kate Lang as she's hosting a clinic with our friends at Wailua High School next week for spring break. So we'll have her tell you about that coming up on the show because it kind of ties in as well to tonight. You can actually watch the Rainbow Wahine at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center as they host a few, tonight's the first night, a few spring matches with UNLV being tonight. Again, that's at 7 o'clock, coached by the niece of former UH Women's Volleyball head coach Dave Shoji. So Malia Shoji is the head coach at UNLV. So it's a fun little full circle moment that they get to play each other. Both teams are playing each other. So that's going on. Also, want to give a shout out to HPU men's basketball head coach Jesse Nakanishi. Happy birthday to him. Woo! Happy 25th birthday, Jesse. Let's go. Only 25 years old. Definitely don't look a day over 30. So there you go, great. Jesse.
He looks excellent. So, I wish I could look like that at 25.
Exactly, right? You only got one more year to go. I feel like you guys are pretty similar, so it's about
right. I got some work to get to Coach Jay Knox level, but shout out to him for a phenomenal year one. Hope he has a great, great day and a productive day. I know him. Mm-hmm. He's always working. He's always on the warpath, so hope it's a productive day, but also a really fun and enjoyable day. And, you know, thank you for letting us come along with the ride this year.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy your day, Jesse. So we hope you enjoy it. Hope you take some time off. I know like once they were out of the tournament, he's like, we're ready to rock and roll for next season because the standards are higher than they've ever been. But take some time for yourself. Enjoy it with your wonderful wife, Taryn, and have an amazing birthday.
Without sharing too much, I can confirm they are already back on the warpath, looking towards next year. So like he said at the end of the tournament, the standards are now higher for HPU men's basketball. It's exciting. It's exciting times for Sharks fans.
Yeah. But like I said, it's your birthday, man. Just
yeah,
come
take
down.
It easy.
Although, don't listen to me because I always work on my birthday. So I
was going to say, we're the like, worst people to be I like, oh,
it.
Don't work on your birthday.
Just want to throw out the more UH news or lack thereof. We still have not gotten an official update about Spiros Hakas from the UH men's volleyball team. According to Brian McInnes's tweet, however, that came out yesterday, that we should get an update, or Charlie Wade said there will be an update today. So we will keep you guys informed with that. Maybe it'll come out before the show ends. If not, expect some news regarding Spiros Hakas, who exited Sunday's match against UC Irvine just with a couple of points left to go in the match. So we talked about it extensively yesterday, but hopefully we can give you an update sometime soon. Okay, I think that's all of the immediate news before we completely dive into NFL. I think that's about it. If not, you know what? You guys know things hit me and then I just chime in and I'd be like, I'll remember something. Okay. Here we go. So definitely want to give you some updates about our Hawaii guys first. So Marcus Mariota, former quarterback at St. Louis and Oregon, Tennessee, Vegas Raiders, most recently with the Philadelphia Eagles. He will now go over to the Washington Commanders. So the Commanders have agreed to terms with Marcus Mariota. It's a 1-year, $6 million deal that can be worth up to $10 million, according to league sources. So before signing with the Eagles, he played, oh, that's right, also with the Falcons. My goodness, where have I been?
He had a whole Netflix show, coup, remember?
Know. I forget. It's all a blur, but I'm just glad he's still in the league. And that's still a very nice package for him, considering He was the backup to Jalen Hurts. He could potentially be the backup or maybe a brief starter with the Washington Commanders, considering they do have the number two overall pick in the NFL draft. So not a pretty good landing spot there for Marcus Mariota. And at the beginning of the day, he's always like the good locker room guy. He's the guy that you always want there that will be a good leader, a good person, kind of hopefully be an influence to some of the other guys in the locker room. And the Commanders, PR-wise, they could use all the help that they can get right now.
So I sit here and I think all of those things are 100% correct. I put my tinfoil hat on to try and always read into what these moves mean for the future. What does free agency have to do with the NFL draft? And I sit here and obviously the Commanders, Dan Quinn's team's got that number two overall pick. You'd love to have Caleb Williams fall to you at number two, the hometown kid, but got a pretty good feeling he's going to be ending up in the deep dish pizza capital of the world over in Chicago there. So does this mean maybe a Jaden Daniels goes to the Commanders at number two overall, a dual threat quarterback who you can have sit behind a veteran for not necessarily the full year? You don't need to. Like, Mariota makes a phenomenal stopgap. He, like you said, a great veteran to help teach a young guy how to work in the league, how to go about your business. And, you know, everybody just likes him. Like, he's just a good dude.
Yeah.
And for a first-year head coach in Dan Quinn, head coach in Dan Quinn and overall for that franchise, it gives you an opportunity to sit Jaden Daniels, should that be your draft pick, for a few games, for a few weeks, for half the season. And how many quarterbacks at this point have we seen where they get that opportunity to sit on the bench? They aren't thrown into the fire right away. They might still start in their first season, but they're not thrown into the fire right away. They can sit back, watch, and then they take the reins when they're ready and he kind of explodes onto the scene. That's what I think this move long term might be for the Washington Commanders.
That's interesting, considering that, you know, at least in different boards, some people have Drake
May. Trust me,
you're a Drake May fan, but that is interesting. I wish we could see it. I'm looking at BetMGM right now, and the highest that they have on the draft board right now is the fourth overall pick. So I think the odds makers are like a little concerned. They don't want to put those up yet in terms of one, two, and three. I don't think one will go up.
One that I would be very surprised.
They might not have Caleb Williams on there and just put the other ones. At least in terms of the betting market, the only fourth overall pick and after are up there with Marvin Harrison Jr. at -250.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we will see how that goes, because right now that makes sense, but you know, the Chicago Bears are going to find a way to get that somewhere over there to get Marvin Harrison Jr. because that's where the Cardinals are picking. Hence why Marvin Harrison Jr. being a wide receiver that they need is at -250. But well, and I guess the same is if the Chicago Bears make it happen, that they can do that deal, which I don't think it'll happen. Or they trade up ahead of the Patriots and we'll see what happens. Anywho, I like the way you're thinking.
That was my tinfoil hat, though.
I do kind of like that, but I wish we could see the betting market move a little bit.
Oh, me too.
They're smart. We can't put that up there.
Whatever.
Because
either
it's between
way.
Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May are kind of like, I mean, Caleb Williams is kind of the lock-in, and
he's
everywhere the quote-unquote experts are going back and forth between that two and three with those two quarterbacks. But I guess the common thing is that it's going to be one of those quarterbacks that will go in the 2-3 spot, or I guess both will go. It just depends on which number or which draft pick they are.
Apologies for derailing us for a moment from
no
our other
berries.
Hawaii guy, but
no.
I wanted to give one Marcus's flowers as a great bridge guy. I look at him kind of like a Josh McCown, where a really, really respected veteran who is going to continue to get those jobs to mentor younger quarterbacks. But I also know we have another Hawaii guy to get to who also got signed yesterday.
Hold on. I apologize. I lied.
Oh, no.
I didn't lie. I just didn't scroll further enough. This is weird. On the BetMGM site where it's like...
You had me worried. I'm like, did my tinfoil cap come
no,
on too early?
No, because it starts with fourth pick, and then I scrolled a little bit, and then it said fourth or overall pick, so I just assumed it just goes down from there. But then I scroll a little more, and then they have first overall pick, Caleb Williams at -2,000. No surprise there. But if you look at second overall pick, Drake May and Jaden Daniels are both at even. So take that how you must. So your tinfoil hat could be correct, but
I don't think it's crazy.
It's not crazy at all. So Marcus Mariota from the Eagles to the Commanders, agreeing to terms on a one-year, $6 million deal that can be worth up to $10 million. Okay, so our other Hawaii guy, Alohi Gilman, getting to stay with the Los Angeles Chargers. They've agreed to terms, and the deal is for 2 years and $11 million, according to multiple reports. Gilman, whom the Chargers drafted in the sixth round in 2020, was the 28th ranked player on the Athletic's top 150 free agents list, and he is the first of the Chargers' pending unrestricted free agents to be retained by coach Jim Harbaugh and general manager Joe Hortiz. I also saw that they are retaining, I think, Derwin James. I think they extended as well, or are keeping. So, which, I mean,
can I be honest? I have no idea. There's so many moves. I'm still trying to catch up. I'm drowning over here, Koo.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, here it is. So they did also retain Derwin James. So we talk a lot about the Los Angeles Chargers offense, being that their new head coach is a former quarterback and obviously did what he did in winning a national championship with Michigan. But this Chargers defense, I mean, re-signing Alohi Gilman and Derwin James, they're looking pretty feisty as well. And as we've seen in recent years, as we've seen with, as much as we talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, we also mentioned how good their defense was this year, bringing that Super Bowl to Kansas City. Okay, there's so much more. So those are kind of like the top, I guess, Hawaii connection guys. Okay, we'll take the break now. It is 8:16 because we have a lot more to tell you guys, including where some other quarterbacks went. Unfortunately, one did not go back to the New York Jets Paul wanted.
It's okay. We ended up doing something that Paul did want, so you won't get doom and gloom, Paul, in the next segment.
Before we go to the break, though, I do want to mention where Derrick Henry went, and we'll talk about it more when we come back from the break. But just to give you a little bit of a tease, Derrick Henry this morning, this is what the news that I woke up to, like literally on my alert as I looked at my phone, that he is going to the Baltimore Ravens, 2 years, $16 million. So we'll keep talking about NFL free agency when we come back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Yeah, baby. NFL free agency. Whoa. I hope I didn't chase away anybody there.
We're having fun.
Oh my gosh. By the way, this is something I saw because we were talking about some of the Hawaii guys that had signed. This is not likely to happen. I don't want to say not likely, maybe, but not in this period that we're talking about. I saw this via SpoTrack like last month, that SpoTrack projects a four-year, $220 million contract extension for Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, including $105 million fully guaranteed at signing and $165 million practically guaranteed through the 2027 season. Again, that didn't happen, but I just thought it was interesting because SpoTrack is awesome when it comes to kind of talking about all of these contracts and everything, but just wanted to share that with you guys that that's the projection according to the professionals who know how to gauge these kinds of things. So that would be cool if we can see that happen for Tua Tagovailoa. All right, if you missed it, we mentioned that Marcus Mariota is now with the Washington Commanders on a one-year, $6 million deal that can be worth up to $10 million. Alohi Gilman is staying with the LA Chargers, agreeing to a two-year deal and worth $11 million. All right. So some of the things that happened yesterday, the big news we mentioned to end the show, Saquon Barkley, 3 years, $37.75 million. Kirk Cousins, 4 years, $180 million. Something that we just saw come through not too long ago. And where did I? Oh, Steelers to sign former Ravens linebacker Patrick Queen to a three-year, $41 million deal. Woo! Four-time Pro Bowl running back Derrick Henry is signing a two-year, $16 million deal worth up to $20 million with the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm like, Well, it's, gosh, that's such an interesting move. Every time you think like, oh, maybe a team kind of peaked, and then like, oh, well, they're just, at least now Lamar Jackson doesn't have to run as much.
That's my thing.
Derrick Henry just plows through everyone, and even though he's way far down in terms of the Athletics ranking in like free agents that were available, he's ranked 38th. I mean, the guy is just a freak of nature. He's not your typical running back that does have a short lifespan. Yeah, he maybe slowed down by one step, but him slowing down by one step is still significant. It's kind of like when we talk about Adrian Peterson coming back from ACL surgery and even well into his career was still phenomenal. So Derrick Henry, only 30, but I feel like he's kind of like a LeBron James type of 30, where he's just so much, he's just physical specimen, freak of nature that, man, this is such a good signing for the Baltimore Ravens.
Actually, good you bring up LeBron, I guess, because I was going to say, I'm like, guys, the guy's nickname is King Henry. Like, he is.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Like, this is a dude. No, an awesome signing for the Ravens in terms of doing what they want to do, which is run the ball. That's always been Baltimore's DNA. And it gives, like you said, Lamar Jackson a little bit more room to work, because now think back to when Marshawn Lynch talked about running through a guy's face over and over and over again. And then guess what? Now all of a sudden you have the shiftiness of Lamar Jackson out there. Yeah, have fun, guys. That is not my cup of tea. Not looking forward to any team having to play the Ravens on offense because that team's good. And they're probably only going to get better because they'll add a wide receiver again. And overall, it's been a nice start for them, though they did lose a linebacker, didn't they? Patrick Queen, I think, signed with the Steelers, right?
Yeah. That we just talked about. So there are all kinds of moves going back and forth. This, I thought, was an interesting one, and you would kind of enjoy this because it deals with a team that you don't like. I saw it come through. God. Well, first, we mentioned, okay, so Gabe Davis going over, which I kind of like for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We mentioned it yesterday, 3 years, $39 million. But something I saw via Adam Schefter is that I guess New England is pushing to sign the Jags' other receiver in Calvin Ridley, but sources believe that he currently prefers to return to Jacksonville, and he has been discussing a deal with the Jaguars. So I thought that was kind of funny, considering gone are the times where people or players were like, yeah, I want to go play for the Patriots. Like, when did we think that a player would prefer to play in Jacksonville over New England? Like, wow, the times have changed. And there's been a change that, you know, maybe it's because the head coaching helm have changed. Obviously, there's the quarterback situation is very much up in the air, so I totally understand. But it's nice to see some of these players like Calvin Ridley. And we don't know how much money New England is maybe offering, but I like to see when players are looking out for their actual playing situation and wanting to stay somewhere that makes sense as a player and not necessarily only about the money.
Yeah.
And considering how he didn't play for a year or two, but at least
he, why
was I wonder why he didn't get to play for a year.
Anyway.
Looks awesome. I love it for Trevor Lawrence. I think he's a great quarterback. I like it for Jacksonville. So I just thought that was a little funny, like little tidbit out there when I saw it come across. I was like,
I always laugh at the misfortune of the New England Patriots because their fans laughed at the misfortune of my franchise for my entire life. So I love hearing that. No, Calvin Ridley, you're right. It's better for his playing career should he stay in Jacksonville over New England. And that's not my bias against New England.
No.
It's just the simple fact of, like you said, Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback who, when fully healthy, last year, I think the Jags were, 8-1 at one point.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Lawrence goes down. People are like, oh, is he even going to return this season?
Mm-hmm.
He does. And he just didn't look like the same guy after that. So I'd love to see him healthy for a full year with Calvin Ridley and Gabe Davis. I mean, for all of his faults, Gabe Davis has plenty of big games. I mean, he is nicknamed Big Game Gabe. So I don't know. I like the moves that Jacksonville has been able to string together so far. And as long as they can keep Calvin Ridley out of New England or Buffalo or Miami, that is good news for my New York Jets. Hey, if he does want to come to East Rutherford, New Jersey, though, I know that he would look excellent wearing zero for the New York Jets.
Let me put that one out there.
Just manifest.
Unlike on, you know, the misfortune of the Chicago Bears in the NFC North and having to face Josh Jacobs now in Green Bay for the next 4 years. 4 years, $48 million over there. I know the Bears got DeAndre Swift, but if you're asking me which one I prefer, I probably would have wanted Josh Jacobs.
There's a lot of familiarity coming back, though. So DeAndre Swift, right? But also Aaron Jones signing with the Vikings. Mm-hmm. I think that broke this morning, right?
Along with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, along with my boy Sam Darnold. Vikings, at the very, very least, they're making these bargain bin moves where you lose Kirk Cousins to the Falcons, which was a massive move coming down the pipeline yesterday. And now it gives you an opportunity to kind of reset. Sam Darnold gets an opportunity to play with potentially his probably most talented lineup with him, considering all of those Jets teams were terrible. And then he went to the Panthers, which was not exactly much of a step up. And then as a backup quarterback, I don't count that for the San Francisco 49ers. Great for him to be in their culture for a year, but now he gets a chance at an organization where I really respect Kevin O'Connell as a head coach, mm-hmm. as a play caller. You have Justin Jefferson there, who is a top one wide receiver
in
the league.
He's going to get a bag.
Oh, my God.
Whether it's from, you know, Minnesota or elsewhere.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, if he wants to be a New York Jet, too, Garrett Wilson would look great next to him.
Or a Bear.
but even so there, Jordan Addison's there, and overall you add Aaron Jones into that mix. Mm-hmm. I think Aaron Jones still has, I know we just talked about Derrick Henry, and yeah, he's got a lot of miles, but we still think he's going to be a productive back. I feel very similarly to Aaron Jones, where this is a guy who has a lot of productive football left in him, whether it's running the ball, whether it's being a nice little pass protector, somebody who can be a help in the passing game. Overall, I like what the Vikings have done, albeit without making any big splashes, per se. So I like those two moves. Aaron Jones stays in the NFC North, much to, I'm sure, plenty of people's dismay.
What other ones? Oh, I didn't even see this one. Darnell Mooney over to the Atlanta Falcons? What? Ooh, 3 years, $39 million. Are you kidding me? That's, you guys, this is just hitting me now. And I'm surprised that didn't come across like my Twitter feed by like the Bears blog stuff, but aw.
That's sad.
That is sad.
Shout out him though. He's a good receiver. I have always liked him as like a number
he's
two, number
with
three.
Kirk Cousins Fair. In Atlanta. At least it's not in the division. But still. Dang, you guys, I really just saw that in real time. Holy moly.
Bears taking a wide receiver at 9 or trading up. That's the boom. There we go. How would we feel about that?
I mean, I guess because you have DJ Moore, who obviously was the number one, but Darnell Mooney was such like a solid, like.
Yeah, he's a good receiver.
Second target. Dang.
What if you grab Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze at 9?
Well, and then there was talk about the tight end. What's his
Brock
face?
Bowers.
Brock Bowers, yeah.
He's a Jet, sorry. Not really, but it's way funnier to say it like that.
It is. It's so much. It made me chuckle. When you take a look at the, now all of this is going on, not too much of a change in terms of the futures odds for Super Bowl next year. The 49ers are the favorite odds via BetMGM at 5-1. Chiefs are at +650. The Ravens over there at 9-1. So that's not too surprising. Again, 49ers are still the best team on paper last season, but the Chiefs, man, you just can never count them out. They're going to find a way to win with all their experience that they have. So no surprise in terms of where that is. I am still surprised at the Bills still being up there. I had to give myself a pat on the back a little bit because our friends at VSiN in the show that comes before this one, one of their guys was talking about the Bills, and man, those 13 seconds a couple of years ago was essentially the end of it for the Bills. And that's what I've been saying for the last couple of years, is that overtime messed them up and that was their one and only chance. And ever since then, yeah, you see glimmers of hope like you've seen this past season, but I don't know. It's just something about it. But the Bills are there along with the Lions, both at 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. The Bengals at 14-1. Come on, just stay healthy, please. maybe my this year's Super Bowl prediction will come true next year. And the Cowboys, Eagles are at 16-1. Our teams, Paul, the Jets are at 30-1.
I was going to say, I was going to put us around 25-1. Yeah. 31's fair, though, because they've done nothing in free agency. Sorry, I have no frustration over that at all.
The Bears are at 50-1.
I would wouldn't surprise me at this point. Yeah. Everybody's passing the check.
All right.
Sorry.
All right. Let me scroll. What are some other ones I might have?
We should talk about, we brought up the Eagles a couple of times. Obviously, Jason Kelce retiring this offseason, but also Fletcher Cox, longtime defensive tackle for the Eagles, after 12 seasons, retiring as well. So that's a big loss on the defensive side of the ball for them. So two longtime leaders in the locker room stepping away and hanging up the cleats. So one, best wishes to both of them, obviously, as they go into the next stages of their lives. But two, some question marks now in terms of leadership and who's next to step up into those roles when you lose long-term members of your team.
That'll be interesting to see how they manage the rest of free agency and then the draft. They do have the 22nd pick in the upcoming draft, so there's still a lot that you can get at that position. Some of the other ones, now that I'm scrolling through, Austin Eckler, 2 years, $8.43 million, so going from the Chargers to the Washington Commanders. That was pretty...
Commanders are making amount of moves where...
And smart moves, really significant, but yet not expensive. But I think they're getting good value so far for the moves that they're making.
Agree. It's enough to raise the floor, but it's also... Mm-hmm. Like, Dan Quinn wants to set a culture there. You talked a little bit about it, where bringing in Marcus Mariota is good for plenty of reasons after to kind of wash off the stink and the filth on that franchise. I know they're under new ownership now, Josh Harris and that big group there, but it's a good way to continue to go that way. And you're right, they're making significant moves without making significant promises way deep into the future, where you see a lot of rebuilding teams kind of make that mistake a lot of times, where you'll give like the 4 year, like $32 million, 28 guaranteed to Eckler. And then, you know, if he doesn't have juice in his legs midway through next season, you're like, well, shoot, now we're stuck with him for two extra years or that dead cap. So I really liked what the Commanders have done, and Eckler just continues that.
Let's see. Aaron. Oh, no. Which one is the one I was looking at? I was just looking at one. Dang it. This is what I was looking at. Because Andrew Van Ginkle goes over to that's going to be an interesting one that the Bears will have to face, because he's going to the Minnesota Vikings from the Dolphins, 2 years, $20 million. On the flip side, the Dolphins agreed to terms with linebacker Jordan Brooks from the Seattle Seahawks, 3 years, $26.25 million. Not too shabby there. AJ Epenesa remains in Buffalo, 2 years, $12 million.
It's crazy. Like, it really, really has been a wild 48 hours. By the way, I forgot to say this during the Eckler thing. Does Jim Harbaugh just take Blake Corum in the draft now? The Michigan running back in, like, the third round, fourth round? Like, it feels like a very Harbaugh thing to do, especially because he really loves his Michigan guys. And, well, guess what? They were pretty darn good this past year. So I just forgot to bring that up. So whatever, you know.
Let's see. Mike Gesicki, he goes over to the Cincinnati Bengals, 1 year, $3.25 million. I like that move.
I do too, especially because they lost their other tight end, Irv Smith Jr., to the Chiefs, who also signed, I think, early this morning or late last night. Hawaii time. I don't live on East Coast time anymore. but either way, that's, you know, is Kelce kinda on the block? No, kidding.
When is he going to be available? Yeah. It's kind of a flop. Oh, yeah. The two spots down, I see that. Or Irv Smith Jr. So Sam Darnold here, 1 year, $10 million to the Minnesota Vikings. We mentioned this yesterday, but Tony Pollard, 3 years, $24 million to the Tennessee Titans. Tyrod Taylor, 2 years, finally. $18 million.
Finally. Thank you. There is a God. There is a God. The New York Jets signed a legitimate backup quarterback for once in my lifetime. Did you know Tyrod Taylor, if his career, his like 12 or 14 seasons, was with the New York Jets, he'd rank top five in like five or six categories, including like touchdowns, passing yards, passing completion percentage?
Not surprised. He's a solid quarterback, so.
And now he's our backup.
Woo!
Instead of Zach Wilson. I wonder where he's going to go, by the way, after seeing Mac Jones go for a sixth. With all due respect to Zach, Mac Jones has proven more in the NFL. So going to be kind of difficult for the Jets to trade Wilson. And in a sense, I'm still curious because a lot of the seats are starting to be taken for where Justin Fields might have ended up as well. So a lot of question marks
but,
still
I mean,
there.
I said it before, like, I would prefer Justin Fields to stay in Chicago. Like, if you can't get, and I think Ryan Poles is managing it perfectly where, you know, there is, like, a value to what you would give up or what you would want for Justin Fields. And if nobody is willing to match that, then keep him because you want to make it worth it. You know, it's like you're not in the position that you need to get rid of him or anything. You don't need to get rid of him at all because you have the number one pick. You'll have Caleb Williams. You have two very, very solid mobile quarterbacks to work with. Like, it would be an ideal situation in terms of just the team wise if you cannot get what you want. So I'm all for it that we haven't seen him go anywhere and nobody wanted to give up whatever they wanted to for Justin Fields. I like the situation for Chicago.
I like how Ryan Poles is playing it as well, more because I don't think you should trade Fields just to trade Fields at this moment before the draft. And I understand doing right by Justin Fields, and I do feel kind of poorly for that aspect of it because in terms of starting opportunities for next year, those are quickly dwindling. But in terms of driving up price, if he's on your roster and, like, let's say you are really considering between him and Caleb Williams and all you want to do is flip back one spot. I mentioned it before. Williams is a DC native. You know, the Commanders would love to get that rebuild kickstarted with the hometown kid. You trade back one pick and you suck out an extra two first round picks from them. Pick Marvin Harrison Jr. at two.
Nope.
And keep Justin Fields? No?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Cool. I don't know. I thought I could get you.
You cannot. He would get more flack for not taking Caleb Williams than taking him, and he ends up being a bust in this draft. Like, you can't have a potential generational quarterback and pass, and then you're like, oh, but I got all this stuff for it. It's like, yeah, but you see what a generational quarterback can do. They win you Super Bowls.
This is absolutely true. But also, once again, we've used generational over and over again. Trevor Lawrence was generational, and
I've never said that. He still has
gotten nothing done.
I do not throw out generational and GOAT easily. So, but I know that the world tends to do that with a lot of players.
That's all we're saying. That's all I'm saying.
Really quick, just a few other ones. Jacoby Brissett going over to New England, 1 year, $8 million. So they got
heart.
A quarterback. Gardner Minshew, 2 years, $25 million with the Las Vegas Raiders. Jameis Winston, 1 year, $8.7 million with the Browns.
Hey, I didn't see that. That's actually a really good move for them.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of stuff. All right. Got to take a break. When we come back, we will switch gears just a little bit, talk some Rainbow Wahine volleyball, and then probably close out the show with more NFL. But we'll get a sprinkle of something else for a second when we come back on Wake Up in the Den.
I feel like falling in love. Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuule Ogbayani alongside Paul Brecht. Hope everyone is having an amazing morning so far. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. You guys know we appreciate all of you, all of our 1.5 million listeners that we have so far that either tune in live or on demand at HawaiiSportsRadio.com. All right, pretty fun things going on this week. We've talked a lot about the Big West Men's and Women's Basketball Championships that get underway a little later, and of course, a lot of men's volleyball, but there is an opportunity for you guys to check out some women's volleyball as the Rainbow Wahine gets set to host a few spring matches beginning tonight against UNLV at 7 o'clock p.m. They play Colorado State tomorrow and then Notre Dame on Thursday. All those games at 7 o'clock at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center. But speaking of Rainbow Wahine volleyball, want to also tell you about something pretty cool happening next week, Monday and Tuesday for spring break, as we welcome in University of Hawaii women's volleyball setter Kate Lang. Kate, how are you? Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, I'm great. Thank you for having me today. I missed being on here.
I know. We're so excited to have you. And we'll definitely, you know, there will be some other times when we will talk specifically about Rainbow Wahine Volleyball. Want to let everybody know about something exciting for volleyball players coming up next week. Tell us a little bit about the Wailua Bulldogs All Skills Volleyball Clinic that you are co-hosting.
Yes. So I was given just the best opportunity ever to run a volleyball clinic under the Wailua High School gym and athletics. And they're letting me come in on Monday, March 18th and March 19th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. to work on all skills volleyball. And this is for boys, girls, all ages. It's probably going to be focused on more middle school leveled, but we're going to have anyone that wants to come is able to, and we're going to be focusing on things that are the itty bitty critiques and then all the way up to gameplay. So we're going to be working on footwork, serving, passing, setting, hitting, volleyball IQ. And we're going to finish every day with playing 6-on-6. So it's going to be real games where you're going to get some real game experience, and you'll be able to have me around. And depending on how many people we have register, we'll also have some of the other, some of my teammates come in as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm super excited.
Ooh, that does sound like a lot of fun, actually. Oh, yep. Take me back to when you were, a young volleyball player. Maybe what were some of your drills? I mean, I know as kids, sometimes we don't even look forward to practice at all. But if you had to pick, what were some of your favorite volleyball drills growing up?
Yeah, I just remember doing more fun drills. I don't, especially at this camp, I'm not going to be doing drills that were the ones that I didn't look forward to as a kid when I was under these coaching terms. So I remember doing the butterfly drill and doing drills that had to do with me doing partner work and being able to make friends at these camps and at these clinics, and just things that are really lighthearted and easy to get feedback and not feel overwhelmed. There's a snake drill that's really fun where everyone gets to play every position on the court. And I just thought that was really fun too, because sometimes when you're playing on teams, they have specific positions that you can't try out other things that you may enjoy. And if it wasn't for the snake drill, I would have never become a setter in the first place. So I think that it's important to do drills like that, which is why I want to include them in on this camp.
Ooh, that's fascinating, actually. And yeah, that's a good point, especially when, as you mentioned, tailored more towards maybe the middle school age. So that is when you are kind of figuring out what position exactly you enjoy and slash maybe are meant to play, as we are joined by Rainbow Wahine volleyball setter Kate Lang, talking about the All Skills Volleyball Clinic that she is co-hosting with Wailua High School next week, Monday and Tuesday, March 18th and 19th. Both days are 8 to 11 a.m. So, you know, wonderful clinic for everybody, but just how much does it cost and how can everybody register?
So for the cost, it's going to be $100 a day. And the registration will be found on my Instagram, which is at kate.lang, kate.lang.
Awesome. So $100 per day, or you can register early, of course, for both days, $200, but more than getting your value with and learning from one of the best in the business in Kate Lang. Kate, do you have any last things to say, not only for maybe the young volleyball fans, but also our Rainbow Wahine volleyball fans that are listening?
I want to tell everybody, thank you for all the support in the past, and I hope that I see all of your faces in the future. And also that this camp is definitely just for people that want to come in and have a good time. It's not for overwhelming information and stuff like that. I just want to be around people that love volleyball as much as I do. So.
All right. We love it. So we hope to see you guys out there again. Wailua High School next week, Monday and Tuesday, March 18th and 19th, both days 8 to 11 a.m. And you can check out Kate's Instagram to go ahead and get registered. But thank you so much for joining us, Kate.
Thank you so much for having me. I'll see you soon.
And that was Rainbow Wahine volleyball setter, Kate Lang. So anyone who has some young volleyball players, go ahead and get registered. As you mentioned, you can go to her Instagram or you can go to our Instagram and click on the link in the bio. And there's a little bulletin board tab that you can tap on. And we have the image and the link there. Or you can go straight to our website at hawaiisportsradio.com to see more information and also to register. So hey, if you're looking for something for spring break for the kids to do, volleyball players, again, all ages, more so catered to kind of the middle school age. But that's why it's important to register, because on the registration, it does actually ask for the age and the level of the player. So, and if they play in any clubs, because it will help Kate prepare the drills and the specific skills to focus on. So that's really cool. So it'll be more of like a custom, not just, oh, she already has it in mind and is going to set out all these drills that might be too easy or too hard for some. So get them registered. And again, it'll be catered to the types of players and the age groups that register out there at Waialua High School. So a nice drive out to Waialua if you're someone that doesn't live kind of like Mililani and beyond to the North Shore. But I think that's really cool. I loved what she said about, you know, drills that helped her and learning to try different things, because she wouldn't have become a setter, you know, and that's what happens. Sometimes you're, when you're a kid, you're like, I don't really know what position. I mean, for soccer, I played like every single position that I could. When I was younger, I was
what
like,
you should do.
I was the big kid. So, you know, oh, you're in the goal. That's what happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it was like defender, and then high school. I was defense for a long time, and then college, I ended up being a center mid. So that was really
slowly
interesting.
Worked your way forward. Yeah. Boo. That's all I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kate though, for real.
I know. She's awesome. And like I said, you guys can watch the Rainbow Wahine in action tonight through Thursday, 7:00 p.m. all throughout the next 3 days at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center for spring matches.
Shout out to Kate one more time, though, too. She gives us a lot of time, like a lot of time, because obviously she does this. She's very, very busy. She also was on our Hawaii Players Pod hosted by Olivia Austin, and that's something awesome you guys should check out as well. It's on YouTube. I think it's also somewhere you could locate it on hawaiisportsradio.com. Also, wherever you get podcasts. Awesome conversation there between those two. Would really, really recommend checking that out and any other Hawaii Players Pods that we've put out, because there have been some pretty interesting ones with Rainbow Wahine basketball players, some men's volleyball players. The sports are spread out.
Football players.
True. Andrew Choi's was my favorite, I think.
Who was just telling me about that pod, that episode with Andrew Choi? Somewhere, and they're like, oh my gosh, that one, what was his name? Oh, one of my good friends who's like not even really a sports fan, but she just likes to watch like the podcast like that. And she's like, that one guy, the one that like went to school, like I was like, where? And first I was thinking Kalani, because Keone Tham went to Kalani.
Right.
And then she's like, no, the other one, the Korean one, because she's Korean too. So I think that's why she was like,
she's connected.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then so I was like, oh, Andrew. She's like, yeah, he was so funny, like when he was like the beast from the east, yada yada. Cougar Nation domination.
That's what lives rent free in my mind. I think that's why that is one of my favorite, if not my favorite episode.
So like Paul said, one of the episodes does feature Kate Lang, so go check it out on our YouTube channel, presented by Hawaii Pacific Health. And we still got a few more episodes to go to wrap up the sports calendar year. I believe we have 4 more to bring you guys, so but you guys can catch up with all of them. But we'll be right back to close out the show with probably some more NFL talk next on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
You don't write, and I've been waiting for your call. You say you're busy, baby.
Kukule Agbayani and DJ Pauly D. The real one.
Yes.
The better one. The one that doesn't have like Botox in his face.
All natural, baby.
It's Wake Up in the Den on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Talking a lot about NFL free agency. Marcus Mariota, if you guys missed it earlier, is going to the Washington Commanders, 1-year, $6 million deal. Alohi Gilman remains in LA with the Chargers for a deal of 2 years and $11 million. But, you know, the other things going on, obviously, this is kind of the time where we see things going on with high school players and where they could potentially go and get offers from. And Paul, you kind of stumbled on something interesting that you sent our group chat yesterday.
Yeah, shout out to Jaron Keawe Sagapuletele, the quarterback over at Campbell, who at this point it feels like he's going to be the next one to break the record of passing yards in high school football in Hawaii. Picked up an offer from primetime Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes yesterday. So nice to see some of our local boys continuing to get national notoriety. I know he's been out in California for the past couple of weeks competing in like the 7-on-7
kind of what they do,
tournament.
Yeah.
You know, the football players know exactly what he's doing. But shout out to him. A really, really awesome, awesome opportunity for that. And I think it's, I don't want to say just the beginning because he's already received offers from other schools and good schools at that, including Hawaii. But I do think this is going to be a trend that we see with him going forward. It would not surprise me by the end of this season if he is Hawaii's top-rated high school recruit, because that kid can sling it. He's got quite the arm, howitzer of an arm, and he's a lefty, so it's fun. It looks different, so. Awesome, awesome kid, awesome quarterback. Picked up an offer from a pretty dope individual
just a bit. He is with the class of 2025, so, you know, still got one more year to go. As Paul mentioned, does have an offer from Hawaii, at least via 24/7 Sports. Also offers from Boise State, San Diego State, San Jose State, and Washington, and now Colorado coming in. But it'll be interesting because the more I thought about it, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot he's class of 2025, so Shador Sanders will be gone. So it will be almost unless they get a big time transfer to go to Colorado next season, I guess, then it would very much be an open quarterback competition. And it'll be interesting to see that Jaron Keawe Sagapuletele could potentially be it is difficult to say when you're just a true freshman coming in, but at least there's no Shador Sanders. So we'll see. There's still a lot of time left. Again, he still has one more year to go playing at the high school level, but
he's continued improving year after year.
To show that you're that impressive to get an offer from Coach Prime and Colorado.
I mean, like, I know people have whatever they feel about Colorado and Coach Prime, but here's the thing. The fact of the matter is the dude played at the highest level. He's a Hall of Famer. He knows what good talent looks like.
Yeah.
So that means he thinks that Jaron Keawe is incredibly talented. That's really, really cool.
Ooh. Sorry. Going back to our NFL discussion. 49ers pass rusher Chase Young has added it. Titans visit to his schedule.
Interesting.
He'll visit the Panthers and Saints first.
Titans. I almost said that was Dan Quinn, but that's not. He's the Commanders. Yeah. It's Bill Callahan over with the Titans. That is interesting. Maybe Chase Young really just likes the East Coast, by the way. Like, he wants to go back to the East Coast.
Oh, maybe no tight end in the draft. The Bears are giving former Chargers tight end Gerald Everett a 2-year, $12 million base value deal with a max value up to $14 million. That includes $6.1 million fully guaranteed, at least via Adam Schefter. So now they do have two tight ends now. So,
Holcomb's really good, too, by
the way. Yeah, so I guess no Brock Bowers. All right, Marvin Harrison Jr. it is.
Marvin Harrison Jr., come on down.
Find a way to make the deal with the Patriots happen.
Romo Dunze, you are
Dude, I would just love, oh my gosh, I can only imagine how the Cardinals would feel if somehow the Bears or any team hopped in front of them to get a receiver that they need. All right, but we got to go. We'll definitely follow this as we go. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kule Agbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.